for it. All right. Bam, bam, bam. Hey, welcome to Come to Your Senses with Carlos Jaime. Oh, boy. Well, we got four trailers we're going to see. I guess it's four. We might even do five. Who knows? Maybe Independence Day might show up or something. I don't know. But guys, I'm shot out of a cannon right now because I have a regular. She is in the three-time league and the three-time now. She's the Steve Martin of our show now. Oh, my gosh. And we have Mike Hoagie filling in as usual. Okay, how's it going? Everything good? How's the marriage? Is it good? Yeah, okay. Always give me a thumbs up. All right, there we go. Just want to check it out. All right, just checking it in. All right, guys. Well, we have a fun show. Let me introduce my guest. She's been here many times. If I would describe her as a living rainbow, okay, I'll tell you that much right there. I don't know why, but it's like every time I see that, I always feel like I feel like looking into a kaleidoscope. I don't know. Is that what it is? I guess. Yeah. I don't know. But she always got that image in me. I don't know. Right here, Miss Christina Cohen.
Thank you, Carlos.
Oh, well,
you're
how you
so
doing?
Sweet. Thank you so much.
No, how you doing? Is it good?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You always do good. You're always good. Very positive, healthy. You know,
I do what I can.
All right, that's good.
But
that's
thank
good.
You for having me.
No problem.
Really
thanks for coming out.
I really love being a part of it.
Thanks for sending in. Oh, man. Oh, it's crazy.
What a day.
What a day.
What a weekend.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about, you know, the whole thing about Orlando and then, you know, the mess. And now, of course, gun control is now, of course, number
absolutely.
One topic.
And just how it's just beyond words of just how heartbroken myself and just our community is and all of our friends and that it's really, you know, just mm-hmm. I think all of our hearts are kind of breaking for them. And
It's scary because I think it's, you know, what makes it really, I think, really sad is the thing where they were showing the text, you know? Like, that's when you show the true, like, that's when it's kind of, it's very realistic, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing where, okay, somebody is, you know, you don't know how they're, unless you're in that situation, you don't know, like, you can't really witness it. But because, you know, texting and maybe whatever, now you kind of see, now it's more realistic to there. It's not like... sometimes, like, I think, like, for me, I'll say, like, when I would see, like, if there was, a store robbery, mm-hmm. it was one of those things where you weren't there, you didn't see it, but you're like, oh, wow, like, that's crazy, you know, you saw the news. But when you see, like, a surveillance tape of it or, like, the camera on it, it's, like, more realistic. You're, like, right there. You're, like, a fly. And that, you know, it affects you. That's where you feel like it's scary.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're... It's not like you're
imagining
it.
I think also
it.
Just hearing about the victims. Of
yeah.
Just, you know, how they were Snapchatting with their friends.
Right.
And, like, that they were at the club. And you're like, wow, that's like, mm-hmm. that's us. That's our, you know.
That's the generation, yeah.
Yeah, that's this day and age where it's
right.
like just like that, you know.
Right.
And they're gone. So it's really
yeah.
heartbreaking. And just
yeah.
what I was saying before was just encouraging mm-hmm. empathy for each other. And
right.
I think that's the biggest action I think we can take like immediately in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think if all of us could have a bigger voice in the Congress or the White House, that would be amazing.
Something,
but I think
yeah.
unfortunately it's like, well, what can we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of frustrates me, because it's like things just kind of slip through, you know, through our fingers of like time
yeah.
and just, you know, it's like, what can we do? And it's like, if we can just
right.
be empathetic and love each other and just be more aware and
right.
value the time that we have.
Because, and that's the thing, I think sometimes, you know, you get, it's one thing where you get angry or you just get annoyed or you just get something, but when this one puts it in their perspective, it puts you in perspective of like what really is more important, you know, like not,
yeah.
Not sweating the small stuff, not getting, you know, angry about certain things, you know, because because things like this, it's like, you know, yeah, like all of a sudden it was, you know, 50 people, you know, hanging out, and all of a sudden they're, you know, they're gone. Like it's
right.
like 50, and it's like, it's not like 50 other people are affected. It's like, no, it's like a, you know, it's like a brand, you know, just there's a lot of people that are affected, not only there, but, you know,
right.
It's just the way it is.
You have to think that, you know, there's just so many shootings that have have happened. So just thinking about how many hurting people that really are out there. And so even just going outside of ourselves and thinking about, like, reaching out to our friends and our loved ones and let them know that we love them. Or if someone's going through a hard time, you know, just reaching out. It's like those little things go a long way to pull people out of maybe a deep depression, or it's like we never know how it can affect them.
Yeah, I mean, it's and that's the thing. It's going to take a long time. I mean, and I think it's going to. I mean, for that community, but I think it's all. You know, I think if it's one thing where, you know, like the other thing that was scary too was that they arrested a guy who seemed that he was ready for war in a way, because it looked like he was he had explosives, he had like all these other, you know, weapons that and it seemed to me that he had the same agenda. In a sense that, but it would have been here in this case. So thank God that they, you know, prevented that, because, and that's the thing. I don't, you know, when they had that Pride Festival and everything in here in West Hollywood, I was a little cautious, because to me, it's like, you know, when you look at what happened in Paris, I mean, you're just like, well, I don't know. Like, is this possible?
Stop, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
what could set something
right. You just don't know what's going to happen these days. So I just, it's definitely that, I guess that terror effect, you know, because, you know, growing up as a, you know, when I was younger, when there was like terrorism, I mean, the only thing I visually saw terror was when the hijacking of planes, like that to me was scary, but that's as far as it went, you know, in a way, you know, like maybe that at least I saw, at least in this country, you know, there wasn't this major, I mean, it was just news that every time you would see here something in Israel or other countries and stuff like that. But for America, you were just like, you know, it's like it was weird. Like you know,
the
it was
thing
a
is,
different
it's
world.
Like, how do we prevent it? And like, who is it that actually prevents it? Like, is it? I mean, how much can the cops really do?
Yeah.
Or I mean, how much trust can we put in them? And
I don't. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
And that's the thing.
There's a lot of things we don't know, except just what we can't control ourselves in our lives. And
We need. I don't know. I always go like. You know, when I see Superman, I always go like that. I'm like, man, I wish one day we had like somebody like Superman, just like one.
Like,
can we
Bernie
just
Sanders.
Or just, but that
like
might be
Super
okay.
Bernie.
That'd be funny if Bernie was.
If we make like a Marvel comic after Bernie, that's like, okay, maybe didn't
imagine
win the primaries, but comes back as a superhero.
That would be so awesome. Like, that'd be funny. Like, that'd be funny. Like, if he's giving like some speech and all of a sudden, like, somebody. Like something happens or something, and he like picks like a car up or whatever. Like something, like there's something of like, oh my god!
Yeah, and he's actually like immortalized.
Yeah,
so he's gonna like be around forever.
And then we go, why are you so old? Why did you make yourself so old?
Yeah, why did you make yourself
like
old?
You would have, you know, we would have.
He's like, I'm timeless. Yeah, this like, is what it looks like.
You could have, we could have needed you many times before, but I was like, all right, that's your thing, man.
If he just can stick around and just stay for the next election, if there's not a miracle that he wins this election somehow,
you never know. You never know. I'm
praying, but
who was it? That Truman, Remember Truman, or what was it that he had the newspaper where it was this opposition that won? They had a newspaper, and it was like it's. I don't know. I'll say Smith won, whatever. It's like that. And he's carrying the newspaper, even though he won, but he's showing the newspaper that showed that he didn't win. It was the other person that won.
Oh.
And he's like, well, no. And it was like, it's a well-known photo where he's like, showing the newspaper of the candidate that was going against him winning, even though that candidate actually lost and he actually won the election, you know. But the newspapers were so like they were so like, oh, this guy got in the bag. There's no way. And Truman was like, no, I got it. You know, he's like.
So how does this relate to what do you? What's
no, I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying like with Bernie, because I think a lot of people are like, you know, with Hillary. Because it seems like it's almost like a three-way fight between a Republican and two Democrats in a way. Like it's really weird. It's like it's almost like the Republicans were like just gave up and just like Trump just took over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Republican Party is like, I mean, really, they should be embarrassed. And I think it's just showing how the system has failed them. Because I just think the whole system is really, it's like not, it's not working. It's not working, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, we need to break up with the system. And we need to, like, start getting on some kind of other government dating app.
Like Tinder. Like we should have we should do that. Would be great.
Can we do that?
I don't. Well, you know, it's kind of for looks. Is it for looks that Tinder that thing or something?
Like, well, if like they're the face of our country anyway, then we can just like swipe through different
and see what they have or thing.
Global leaders, right. And you know. Yeah. I mean, I'm still kind of in a relationship with Bernie, so.
Yeah, I could tell. Bernie's like.
Crushing on that.
Yeah, Bernie's like, man, no one, when I was younger, no one even would look at me. It's like, now look at, like, it's like, Jesus.
It just goes to show. Persistence, staying in the game.
It's so funny because
he has probably, consistency.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's like, been like that, like, he, ever since. Like, I mean, yeah, that's one guy that's like stuck to his guns all the way through. Like, there's no, and I think
even now, he's not giving up. He's like going all the way to the end.
And I think there's a lot of.
The champ.
And both parties or any part, I think there's a lot of respect for that because there's not a like that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see that as much, you know.
I think that's wonderful showmanship as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's like.
Well, it's definitely a very. Because. I don't know. I'm very, I would say it's cynical, but I think for me, when I see politicians, I just feel like it's like, you know, they're giving a thumbs up, but just, I don't know if that's real. Like, I don't know. There's no sincerity sometimes. Like, I don't see it as much, you know, when it comes to certain politicians. Mm-hmm. And I think Bernie, I think when he came in, I think it changed it a little bit because I think that's why it's so interesting how he's like 74, but yet.
He feels like a renegade to me.
But he has a very young like following because I think everybody growing up,
I think he speaks the truth. Yeah. That's why it's like he is completely on our level where we're like, like there's nothing not to.
There's nothing false about it. Like he's just telling you how he feels, and that's it. And and I think a lot of young people, I think nowadays are very. You know, they admire that because they wish that a lot of politicians would just be like, enough with the BS, enough with like that, like just like enough of like this weird party, like two party situation.
He's just one of us.
It's like just like like just somebody that actually cares and what he wants to do, like somebody who's actually passionate.
Yeah.
And I saw a documentary, Wiener, about Anthony Wiener.
I missed that.
Yeah, you know who Anthony Wiener is?
No, who's
that? he was in the Congress.
Please tell me about a dachshund.
Close enough. Wiener was a guy. He was in the Congress, and he was a Democrat, and he was very passionate. Like he was one of those guys that could fight toe to toe, and that some Democrats didn't really do. You know, sometimes, but he was different. Like he was the one guy that he could fight back, and he was really good at. And he was getting up there. Like a lot of people were starting to admire him, but what happened was that he tweeted. A photo of his package.
What?
A meeting, not a package from UPS or anything, but like his like underwear and you know his. Whatever there, and it got out to like a girl or something, and then it got out and like it was like a clusterfuck of like just you know.
Well, why did he do that?
And well, that's what the whole thing was because.
And why is there a documentary about something like that?
I'll tell you why. Because Anthony Wiener, he didn't want to even resign. Like, he was getting so much shit for that. And the fact that his name was Wiener, and the fact that everybody was, like, having a field day about the name, the whole thing, and they were saying, like, because even they had photos of him, like, looking in the mirror, like, with his, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't even,
and
who
what,
does
what
that,
was
know?
He doing exactly? What's his position?
He was in Congress. Like, I think he was, like, in New York, or he was, like, a representative. He was like that. He was, like, in the
and
government.
And he tweeted this picture.
To a girl.
Who wasn't his wife.
No.
So it was a big scandal.
And his wife, mind you, is a very, very pretty, very beautiful woman who's, like, second in command, like almost like the right hand woman to Hillary Clinton. That's who he's married to. Like she's like a really, you know, like she's right there. Like when Hillary's like right there, like she's always right there because helping, you know, Hillary with everything. And so when this whole thing happened, it was a debacle.
A
you're
shit
just like,
show.
Yeah.
Holy
so
crap.
So then he said, okay, he resigned finally, even though he didn't want to resign, he resigned. And then later on, when they do it in a documentary, he had the idea of saying, okay, we're going to film a documentary because now I want to run for mayor of New York City. And that's when the documentary starts, you know, they start filming him about it. And everything is going great. Like he's doing everything good. Like he's like number one in the, you know, like wow. that.
It's just amazing though when you right. have to like talk about Twitter.
And, yeah.
Like, so guys, I'm sorry I tweeted that. yeah, like,
well, first it was like he said it was hacked.
You know, like you should know young people how yeah, it is. Like right. it happens sometimes.
The thing what got him was like, okay, he didn't. like, he said it was hacked. And then, but then it was like, no, I don't think you were hacked, everybody. Because we were like, no, they found out later that he wasn't hacked. And instead yeah. of like saying the truth, he could have just said like being like a normal person.
Him and Kim
like,
Kardashian are having lunch.
Right.
And you're like, it just becomes another like.
Right.
Like paparazzi type.
Oh yeah,
and like then scenester thing.
Well, that's.
Does he win?
No, because what happened is when he was running for New York City, he started messaging some girl on Facebook. That
oh,
was
boy. He's up on his social media.
Right. Oh yeah, he's up over. There. All right.
Wow.
like this, and like. This girl like made a comment or something like saying, I believed, you know, like you were so good, but why'd you do this? And then, you know, he said like, you know, started talking to her and then he started kind of like they started developing being like a friendly relationship mm-hmm. that, but then it started getting a little bit further. And at this time he like messaged her like his package without the underwear.
Without, again.
Yeah. And then as he's doing, trying to be the mayor of New York, and that's what the documentary is all about. And it's like, and then of course that fucks everything up.
He
you know?
Seems like a very lonely, vulnerable guy.
From what
super
I got.
Super sensitive.
From what I got.
Gentle.
No, from what I got from seeing the documentary. And I could see his
this guy
wife.
Just needs a lot of love.
Yeah, his wife. Oh my gosh, she was a great, great wife, great person. Because and they had a kid, and they have a like a newborn.
What is he doing? What is he doing?
And she, you could tell, she's just like, I want to stand by my man, but I don't understand what you're doing. And to me,
yeah.
from what I got from this,
he has this amazing opportunity to be a.
Oh,
leader
he would have been.
And-
he would have been the mayor. Like he was there. And what who and what was so funny what, at the end of the thing when they swear it's the new mayor who's not him mm-hmm. it's actually Bill Clinton who was at his wedding because Hillary was there and because his wife is all you know mm-hmm. with the Clintons and it's like that should have been him but it's because I think he has this
well maybe it's also a form of self sabotage and self hatred and that, maybe he just needs to love himself a little bit more
he just I'm saying I'm like. He has some. He.
That's an issue, though. That's something.
I think his hormones are sexual. I think it's way beyond to them where it's like it just can't control. Like I don't know. Like I'm single yeah. and everything, and I don't even do that to anybody. I know porn stars that do it, and I've never like. Why would I even do that? Like
I
no.
Don't know.
And I was like, "You're a politician. Like you would be like."
He's well aware. I don't know. I don't know.
And that's what's so funny about the documentary because he's like mm-hmm. he's like. Oh, like, why did I make a documentary about this like that?
And then he made his documentary about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow.
It was such a clusterfuck. It's like,
huh?
You just get to the point where you're like, oh, man. Like,
and do you think that that's art? Do you think that that's a form of art?
What, the documentary?
Yeah.
I think in a way, documentaries nowadays are very, I mean, well, they've always been like this. Documentaries will make a great documentary is sometimes the story that unfolds during the filming of the documentary. Because somebody, meaning like if I wanted to make a documentary about Star Wars fans or something, if I meet up with a couple people that are Star Wars fans,
oh,
I'm not.
Sorry, just quick yeah. note. Quick congratulations to Kelly Tran, my castmate in Ladies Like Us for being cast in Star Wars 8.
Oh, wow.
She's
going
to be very there
nice.
In December 2017. So.
She's going to be there.
She's going to be there at the, I'm sure, at the premiere. She will be there, but she'll be in
nice.
The movie.
That's cool.
She's,
that's awesome.
She's filming in London right now.
Wow.
So.
That's so weird. That's
yeah.
so cool. That's cool.
It's wild.
Yeah. That's
man.
So. That's,
huge jump from, yeah. you know, she was booking work, but she was also in, you know, Ladies Like Us, and then she got the job and she's on her way. So I'm super proud of her and happy.
That's cool.
So keep going with what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
Every time I hear Star Wars, I'm like, oh, that's my girl. That's my girl.
No, it's just that what I'm saying is like, if I make a documentary about Star Wars fans and I meet Star Wars fans, like they become characters, even though they're kind of, you know, they're real, but they're still characters, you know? So I think that's what makes, I think, a fun documentary. But then there's also documentaries where you're like, Like, yeah, I want to learn. Like, I don't want to, like, I want to be not only entertained, but also like, yeah, like, wow, I never knew about this, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the biggest forms of education is through documentaries. I think media and just storytelling in general is right. a big form of education. Yeah. And
I think that's why ESPN has this thing. I think sports is probably the easiest, you know, for people who really into it, is that they have a thing called 30 for 30, and it's all sports documentaries. And it's sometimes it's sports documentaries where I'll be like, I don't really know about so-and-so or something. And like, but then when you see it, you're like, wow, like I never knew about this. You know, I never about right. this guy, you know, I'm not into the sport, you know, like I'm not into, you know, race, you know, I'm not into like auto racing. But when you start hearing about or something about a guy, then you start understanding like, oh, okay.
Right. And then you can also see the patterns of the journey to greatness. Exactly. Of, you know, the 10,000 hours, the amount of time right. of the yeah. failures and obstacles that you have to overcome in order to finally reach your goal. Right. And I think that's always inspiring. And you can apply that to anything, whether it's racing or if it's sales.
I want to do the most boring duck and see if I can find it. Like, I have to be like painting, like not painting, like someone drawing a picture, like actual, mm-hmm. like we're just going to paint this wall right now. And just say, I'm like, wow, this is pretty interesting. All right.
Like, and he just kept doing it and he yeah. just did not give up.
I think a lot of people would be like,
I told him he couldn't do it and he did it anyway.
He did it again. He did it. He's good. This yeah. guy's good. He's
but
got the eye.
But those things spread, you know, it's like, you never know what yeah, yeah. it could turn into.
Exactly. That's just what you got to do. You got to do it. I'm saying, you know, I'm going to do a documentary on you. I'm going to say that.
Hey, I mean, it would be...
she has the biggest smile right now. Yeah.
Okay, you should do it.
All right, do you allow me?
Yeah, I'll allow you to do it.
I think, were you like, no, I don't want you to do it.
Yeah, at first I'm like, meh, and I'm like, no, actually, no, that would be dope. That would be super dope.
I think it depends. I think everybody, in a way, doesn't see themselves. Like, they're like, why would you make a documentary? But then there's times where it's like, oh, okay, there's some interesting.
Well,
you know?
I mean, I'm not even thinking about like myself. I'm just thinking of all the great things that could be in it that I could point to of like right. just what we're talking about of like of just change of like my friends of like just the way that just the way of thinking that could help evolve and help push forward.
Right.
Like just forward thinking and just free thinkers yeah. and bring people together and mm-hmm. like and those ways, yeah. Like if there's any kind of like opportunity to do something like that, then mm-hmm. yeah, I'd be part of it.
All right, just check yeah. in. Just check in.
I dig it.
I would be like if I was being interviewed for a documentary, I'd be like, what are we talking about? We're talking about that guy? This guy? This is a documentary? Like some guy, you know? So I'm like, this guy? Why are you doing a documentary on him, you know? But I would be like,
you could do a documentary on anything, on yeah. anyone. There's like a great documentary on, what's his name? Like Tom Cunningham. I believe his name
oh, yeah,
on,
the guy took photos and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that was fascinating. And yeah. he had like this tiny little apartment in New York, but he was so uh-huh. special and people just loved him. And uh-huh. it was inspiring. And you're like, my God, this guy, you just want to like squeeze and his cheeks.
And then there's documentaries that I saw about the Ebola virus. And I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. I'm like, I'm never going to that. Town of part of Africa ever like it's like
I'm never going to Africa.
Yeah I know it's
you like, know what I think Ebola I thought there was something in the news about
yeah there was
Ebola
something interesting yeah recently somebody I think here yeah,
yeah.
Which is like that should have been front page news.
I'm already
news.
Kind of considering moving to Switzerland if you know if we keep going in a certain
oh really Switzerland so neutral
in America
All right.
yeah okay. or that or maybe London. Maybe, I don't know, just somewhere that's like, you know, a bit more fair for everybody.
You know, I'm moving to Santa Barbara.
Okay. You're going to Santa Barbara.
That's where I'm going. You know,
I'm going to Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, wow. Which is the worst. It's like, that is the worst. That's like somebody who says, like, where do you live? Like, Rancho Cucamonga. It's like, what? Why are you such an asshole? It's like, who lives there? Like, really? Like, whoever came up with the... I don't know who comes up with names for cities, but it's like, That is one thing where it's like, oh, you know yeah. what?
I was in Ojai yesterday, and there's a street called Drown Ave.
Drown Avenue.
Like drown.
Drown. Like someone
like
drowned.
Someone's drowning. Drown. Like D-R.
How'd that happen?
O-W-N. It just sounds passive aggressive, whoever named it.
Yeah. Well, you know
sounds
what?
Sounds like someone was a little bit
there
angry.
Is Dick Street in West Hollywood, so... Coincidence?
Uh-oh.
Possibly.
I think not.
I think it was. I think so.
Boys
Unless somebody
Town.
Was
There's
like...
Boys Town all over it.
Like, I'm going to call this Dick Street. And this is like before
I'm
it was...
Call
a, I don't know.
Dick Street.
There's a lot of stuff there. I always wonder about that street. I always go like, is this on purpose? All right.
Well, it's all that pride.
Let's do a documentary
know?
On it. All yeah. right. I smell one.
Let's well, do a documentary on the street.
Yeah, oh, yeah. On the street. Imagine. Why are you doing a documentary on Dick Street?
It's a party on Dick Street.
Rancho Cucamonga, man. Yeah. Well, let's get down the pike.
Down the pike.
Favorite part? Right. We got a couple movies. I said at the beginning of the show we're going to do maybe four movies, but should be fun. Have you heard of this one? I don't know. There's a lot of movies coming out pretty soon.
Is it a
but,
scary movie?
This is called Swiss Army Man.
Oh, okay.
Starring Paul Dano.
I love Paul Dano.
Great actor. From,
Paul Dano is one of the best actors
very young
of our generation.
Actor, you know.
He is amazing.
Right. Have you ever met him?
I have, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And very humble, nice guy.
Nice guy. Yeah, he's been doing it a long time, but he definitely made his mark on what's the movie?
Little Miss Sunshine.
What was that?
Little Miss Sunshine?
I don't know, maybe. No, he was a Little Miss Sunshine, but he was also in the Paul Anderson movie. Paul Thomas.
Which one?
The one where the oil one, or the one, what's his name, won the Academy Award. I Drink Your Milkshake.
I Drink Your Milkshake. That's what the name of it is.
Yeah, no, no,
is this
no,
a
no.
Recent, that sounds great.
No, it's Daniel Day-Lewis is the one where he won the Academy Award.
Oh,
it's about oil in California.
Yes, yes. Blood. Till I bleed. No. Till I. Hold on.
It's like forget.
There will be blood.
There will be blood. Thank you. Yeah, yes. he was in that movie. I think he was nominated. He may have been nominated. I'm not too sure, but it really
He's
put
fantastic.
Himself. Yeah, it put him out there. And this is also starring, what's his name? Oh, the guy, Harry Potter.
Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe.
Right on.
So this movie is about Paul Dano. He's a guy living in an island, and he's very lonely, and he finally meets somebody comes and visits finally, you know, to the island. It's Daniel Radcliffe. But unfortunately, Daniel Radcliffe is dead. It's just basically a body. And this is a one man's trying to find a friend in an island and saying, hey, he's basically making, you know, I got lemons, but I'm making lemonade. And he's like, I got a dead body. He's going to be my best
it's
friend.
It's all about that lemonade. It's going to be. You know what I mean, baby?
So I heard that this is like one of the weirdest movies coming out in a real long time. So let's play this
all
here.
Right, cool.
See, he sees the body.
Hey.
Or he doesn't think it's a body.
You just have to remember that we're all here for a purpose and the universe picks its time.
I need you to help me get home. Okay, buddy?
I think that's a doll of Daniel Radcliffe. Like, it's
okay,
weird.
Okay, buddy. You're a miracle. Or I'm just hallucinating from suffocation. You're special. I'm special.
What?
Yeah, it's really weird.
And there's 7 billion people on the planet. You might be lucky enough to bump into the one person you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Oh my God.
This is the life I've forgotten.
This is just the beginning.
See, he's like riding him on a like, it's really weird. It's like he's
filmed by Daniels.
Yeah, he's.
I don't exactly understand what Daniel Radcliffe is.
He's a dead body. He just was found by a lonely guy on an island. I guess I don't know. It's a weird movie.
It's a weird trailer. Yeah. Very.
It's almost like he, you know, the Castaway. You know, like Tom Hanks had Wilson, had the ball.
Yeah.
I think this is like, instead of Wilson, they just said like, this is actually a dead body instead.
It's like Where the Wild Things Are and Castaway.
And Castaway together mixed into something, I guess.
I don't know. I love both of those actors, and I love the cinematography of this, mm-hmm. and I love the creativity
right.
of it, but I'm still a little, like, I'm very confused as to what Daniel Radcliffe is.
He talks like he's yeah. I think it's
his body, but he has superpowers, and
I don't know.
And he's like riding him. You know what? I just wonder. It's like, this is a creative film that I personally would never have thought of,
right?
But them writing it and then pitching it and get the funding for it. How did they get the investors to be like, yeah, this is a great idea. This is what we're gonna do.
Harry Potter. I think that's what it is. You know, I don't. Is that what it is? I think.
Do they attach the names first and then they're like?
I think that's what it is. Yeah. In my opinion, like if you have a big star or just a star enough of a well known name and you're doing a movie, it's like it's immediately gonna draw your
stars want to attach their name when they know that, you know, some people are behind it and that funding's behind it as well.
I think, but unless they really like the screenplay, like if they see the screenplay, like they're like, wow, I'm in, you know, like Bill Murray is known for that.
There has to be just more to this trailer that I don't understand.
Really?
Because like right now, if I'm just seeing it, like I would just see it maybe out of curiosity because I right. really like these actors, but like, you know, it's a two-man show here,
right?
Was this derived from a play?
I don't know. It's like, here, I'll read it to you. It's like, it says, I don't know.
There's too many things I don't know here.
It says, A Swiss Army Man is a gonzo buddy comedy. Gonzo? Who says gonzo?
What's a gonzo?
You know, I hear gonzo is like in porn in a way, but like the Muppets, right?
Do you know what gonzo is?
Yeah, that's what I always feel like it is. And I'm like,
wait, what does gonzo mean?
Gonzo, I mean, gonzo is the like the Muppet, right? Muppet. It's like gonzo is like something that's like just kind of out there. Like just whatever it is, you know, like there's no, it's
so
not.
It's very absurd.
Right. It's like there's no kind of rhyme or reason. It's like, you're just doing it for doing it, I guess, or something. I don't know. Okay. That's what I kind of feel like what gonzo is.
I can get down with that too.
So I think
it's fun.
Yeah, I think
it's a fun thing to be like, it just is what it is.
And I think it's saying, like right here, it's like a whole thing. It says, Swiss Army Man goes from the absurd to the emotional to the whimsical to the profound and back again. So it's basically like, it says, Hank is stranded on a deserted island, having giving up all hope on ever making it home again, but one day everything changes when a corpse named Manny washes up ashore. And this is the two become fast friends. So it's basically like, yeah, I think it's Wilson. I think it's like...
It's like his... Yeah, it feels like he becomes friends with this corpse.
Right.
And his imagination...
Runs wild.
Right. And it's his imagination. It's his illusions that he has while... being with this dead body.
There we go. Now we don't have to see the movie.
I think that's what it is. I think I just
that'd be funny. It's like, sorry, Paul. So. Yeah, could you apologize? If you know Paul, if you contact you, just say, I'm sorry, you know, you don't have to see the movie. You just figured it out. So.
Yeah, I know. We just figured it out. Sorry, the trailer is just so predictable.
Right.
So.
I apologize. Sorry. If I've seen one Gonzo movie, I've seen them all, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, your Gonzo doesn't get by me.
I don't know, right? Let's play this next one is kind of, okay. I don't know, this is another one I feel like it's almost gone. It's almost weird how this made.
Neon Demon.
It's called The Neon Demon, and this is a guy who directed Drive, you know, with the...
Yes, I love Drive.
But this one, it has like about a girl going to L.A. and seeing that being beautiful is not all what it's cracked up to be, right?
Oh,
here,
wow.
I guess.
Wow, this sounds like a very unique story.
I can imagine.
It's in the way that it's shot.
Yeah,
the way that it's done.
Exactly. This is starring,
What's her name? That's it. Yeah, Elle Fanning.
Elle Fanning.
And Jenna Malone.
Oh, I love Jenna Malone.
There we go. Let's
she
right
is
there.
A true artist.
Right here.
And Elle Fanning is from Atlanta, where I'm from. So.
Oh, Atlanta?
Yeah.
I thought Rancho Cucamonga. All right.
Yeah, that's to retreat. That's to escape.
I see 20 or 30 girls come in here every day, mostly from small towns with big dreams. Mm-hmm. And they're all good. You're going to be great.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I wish someone said that to me when I was younger.
Beauty isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Wow.
She has that.
Didn't the
it's
guy,
a tough lesson
didn't
learned.
Vince Lombardi say that?
Who wants sour milk when you can get fresh meat?
Wow, a lot of quotes on this. A lot of...
I know what I look like. Women would kill to look like this.
Whoa, easy. Yeah, the model industry is very tall, thin, super thin.
Oh my god.
This is like Black Swan.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Very Black Swan.
Are we having a party or something?
Yes.
Is it Elle Fanning?
Elle Fanning. Oh, wow.
You know my mother used to call me?
A couple of nudity there. It's a Red Band trailer. I forgot to warn you.
Uh-oh. Dangerous.
Wow.
Wow.
Calm
down.
Wow.
Calm down there.
Look at that.
The neon demon.
Look at that.
I mean, have you, is that, when you moved here, is that how it works? How it was?
Yeah, it was. I totally have gotten bitten by some models in the bathroom at an audition.
Yeah, I have too.
And I was like, that's it. I'm not auditioning anymore.
Yeah,
don't give me any more auditions. I keep getting bitten.
I hear you.
I thought that looked very interesting.
I
like the way that they did it. It's very fascinating. And I wonder, does it look like they have a lot of hot, awesome talent in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not hating.
Not hating?
I'm not hating on it. You
should have added some plus size models in there. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, are we playing the card of diversity in there? No. No. Are we doing something that's kind of like, oh, great, another film with white blonde models that are, you know.
Hey.
Sure. But, that's definitely entertaining.
You have a distinctive look, though. You're not the typical... You know, I mean, you got you're the brunette, so I'm pretty sure,
Would I have auditioned for this film? Absolutely not. I would have no shot.
No?
To be in a film like that.
Maybe a wig. I would have put a wig on.
We could probably do like pastel. I don't know. I'm trying to play off Neon Demon here.
Oh, really? have you done modeling, right?
When I was a little kid. Yeah.
Where was it? Was it fierce? Did you fight with the other kids when saying like, did you ever like a young kid or like a younger, not younger, but just like somebody where you're like, they were mean to you or something?
I think
or
it was more of the stage parent. So I lived at Oakwood when I was a kid for pilot season.
Uh-huh.
And so I used to come out and audition for 3 months for a couple of years. And it was mostly the parents that I think were very competitive more than the kids. I think the kids really just wanted to play.
Right.
And
well, of course, you know, which is normal, which is like a kid. Yeah,
of course. But I remember a couple times I'd want to play with another girl, and then her parents wouldn't allow us to hang out because we were competition.
Wow.
So that was kind of baffling.
Yeah.
I think, moving back to LA when I was 18 and then being in this like young actor kind of scene, that was definitely very competitive, and that was really hard.
Right.
I feel like now I've kind of taken myself out of it a bit, where I finally have found a good tribe of people that are really on the same like way of thinking of just like wanting to, I don't know, like it's just such a waste of energy to put your energy towards competing and jealousy.
It's a very negative going approach to it.
But I definitely have gone through it.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
You're dealing with so much ego and narcissism.
And it's that's another thing where, like, Hollywood, even though Hollywood's there, it's still that old system in a way where the casting and everything, it's kind of weird. But it's like, it's, I mean, I would imagine back, like, poor Judy Garland. I mean, what did she have to go through and all that stuff? Like, the nightmares that she had to endure were, like, not like casting, but just dealing, you know, with just the look. Like, if they didn't have that look or they didn't have that thing, you know, they were like, you know, it was crazy.
I
mean,
even,
you know?
Now, I think that's what's, like, really kind of excruciating. It's like you can have so much talent, but what they were saying in there, it's like that beauty is everything and your image is everything.
Right.
And there's a lot of smoke and mirror actors out there as well, and they can get really far, and, you know, but I guess it just kind of depends on what each person, what they want their... What they want their own artistry to be. So.
Right. Well, the big thing, too, was like the Tony Awards was yesterday. And the whole, I saw something where somebody put up Meg Ryan, and everybody was going crazy of Meg Ryan. I don't know if you knew, but like she went to, I don't know, I didn't see the Tonys, but I think she was presenting an award or something like that, which I didn't even know she did. Like any Broadway, to be honest with you, but I haven't really seen her in anything, really, to be quite honest with you.
I love Meg Ryan.
But there was a lot of things, because when she came out there, it was like everybody was like talking how different she looks now to what she used to be.
And like in a Renee Zellweger kind of way?
Where it's just like, it was like there's a lot of, like, I think plastic surgery or something like that.
Okay.
Where it's like, you just go like, did she really need it? Like, she wasn't really that type. Like, she was very, I mean, she was a pretty young actress when she was there, but, you know, when she got, like, well known and everything, she had a very distinctive look, but it wasn't like she was this blonde bombshell, like, you know what I mean, like Marilyn Monroe. It was just like, no, she was just like an everyday kind of, you know, but yet the girl next door kind of look. But now when you look at it, you're like, oh, she, yeah, like, I don't know what, I don't know. But to me,
Are you thinking that maybe the pressures of a certain way of looking got to her?
I get, or maybe it's like, okay, I've gotten older, and now I have to compete with other women, maybe, or something that are younger than me.
I think
something.
getting older is just a really hard thing to do.
Yeah,
you know?
I think when you're in Hollywood, I think there's a lot of actresses that, like for example, like Julianne Moore, I think, or something. Like, she's been around for quite a long time, and then sometimes when you see her, you're like, okay, she's, you know, she still looks, and that's the thing. And I think for me, even saying where she's like, okay, she still looks good, it's like, no, she's just gotten older, but
I think she's fantastic. And it's just kind of hard because, I mean, with women, it's like so much is placed, their value is so, there's just too much value placed on the way that they look versus like a guy that can get older and then all of a sudden they can still work, they can still transition into other roles.
Like Tom Cruise is like in this, I think he's in his 50s and he's still playing like leaning man, and yet the girl or the actress to go along with him is like 20 years younger than he is, you know what I mean? And it's like,
those are just other things that I really hope that can change, like in the future of like just different content creators that can that can just break the barriers of age. And it's like when you grow older, you get more knowledgeable. You keep waking up to new things on how you can contribute to the world. And it's like, why limit that for a woman to all of a sudden be like, nope, you're at the end of your road.
Right.
You can't keep going and do some awesome roles. I think Diane Keaton is really great. Like, she's really wonderful to watch.
Yeah, she's been
throughout her life.
Because she's been in a lot of stuff. Even she still comes to, I think it's
Helen Mirren is really awesome. Well, she's wonderful. Yeah. She's so fun.
And it's so funny when you see like Helen Mirren and what's the other one? Diana she's in Game of Thrones or something, I think. But there's another one. But they always show pictures of them in the 60s, you know, like when they were like really younger. And of course they look there, and everyone's like freaking out, going like, "Oh my god! Like, this is what she really looked." And I'm like, "Well, she just got older, you know."
Like,
I mean, it's like when I always look at the Rolling Stones, like still performing. I always go like, they're like in their 70s, I think, or something. And I go like, and they still dye their hair. Like Paul McCartney still dyes their hair. And I always go like, I'm like, just. You're old, you know, you're older.
You know,
it's
really,
really
great.
Matter, you know?
So this is the examples. I went to the David Gilmour concert at the Hollywood Bowl.
Right.
And
he's if anybody does know, he's a guitar player for Pink Floyd.
Yes. And so when he came out, I mean, he's super old, but he's fantastic. Well, you know, and everyone's still like cheering him on. You're like, wow, what an epic man. Like, he's gone through so much and he's still jamming out and playing. It's like, let's let the same thing be
For everybody. Yeah, for everybody. Just let it out, man.
So,
like, we get it. We get it.
It's like, just become more epic.
I think it would be more like, oh, okay.
Work and like, be like, cool. Awesome. Yeah. You're still doing work. You're still.
Was Roger Waters there?
No, I didn't see him. I don't know.
Still, I don't know. They still have that issue.
Maybe, and I didn't know.
Do you know who Roger Waters?
Enlighten me.
We're talking. he was also in Pink Floyd.
Oh, he was.
Okay. And then he left, and they didn't leave in good terms. And then later on, they got back together, and they're okay now.
Got it.
But yeah. I'll explain to you. Every time I do a show podcast, I always go like, I go into like this thing where, let me tell you who he is. Okay?
Yeah, let me.
Like, I think my last show, I was telling my guest about Pete Best and everything. And she was like, I don't know what that is. And I'm like, oh, man, you get ready for a heartbreak. Get ready to get your.
I feel like I need to like read an entire encyclopedia and then come back.
You're looking at him. You're looking at him.
I know
him right
that's
here.
You. It's just him. So I can like match you and be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Do you know who Tatiana Ali is?
The daughter of Muhammad Ali. Come on, please, Christina.
Wait,
please.
Come on, no. The girl on the Cosby Show.
Oh, was it? No, that's not. Is it the girl? No,
I don't know.
It's not.
I thought I was making it up. Forget it.
Tatiana Ali. Okay, I think that's either that or she was the young girl on the Fresh Prince. That's the other thing I was going to say.
Oh, that's who it is. Yeah, that'd be okay, her. You're right. You all got right. Me. Darn.
Well, boy. Well, speaking of young girls, let's get, you know, Blake Lively.
Yes.
She's a real yuck. Young.
She's a real yucker. So yuck.
She's a yuck all the way. No, she's a very young upstart. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, not upstart.
Young
but she's,
upstart?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
She's getting the groove. She's getting in there. She's still.
I think she's been in.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, we'll see.
She's been in there for like she's at been in least the fight. A decade.
Okay. Wow. Really? Okay.
Yeah. She's totally been in.
I don't know. She started young, I think, right?
She did. Yeah.
She still looks the same in a way. Like, she still looks like the thing. But she's in a new movie called The Shallows, which is basically Jaws. But it's basically, instead of Jaws attacking a town, a shark is attracted to hot young girl blood, I guess. I don't know. Like, he can't get enough. I don't know what happened. But I've never been.
A lot of people.
I don't know. I would be more afraid of a killer whale in the water than I would be a shark now these days. But that's just me. I don't know. Hmm. What do you think? I don't know. But let's just play this. This is The Shallows.
I'm scared of anything that's trying to eat me.
All right. So, yeah, she's a surfer. She's a and they're like
young,
in this beautiful
up and coming surfer.
Yeah. Up and coming surfer. Yeah. She's like in this beautiful island too. Right? I don't know if she's playing, because there was a surfer that was also blonde and tall, but she actually lost her arm in a shark attack.
Yeah, Bethany. Oh, I can't remember her name, but she's amazing. So inspiring.
Yeah, I don't know where that is, but oh, she's like a doctor or something, I think.
Hey, sis.
Hey.
I just want to let you know I made it here. Mom was right. It took forever to find, but it's perfect.
What did you say the name of this place was?
This is paradise.
Oh, boy. A lot of blood in that water.
Get out! Shark!
But see, I don't know if that would ever happen, though. So now she's stuck in this little mini island, trying
stuck
to get offshore,
on a rock.
Right on a rock.
I'm not dying here.
And she has a big shark swimming around her.
30, 40 yards. It takes them 32 seconds.
I think the shark heard that. Oh.
Wow.
You see that calm down? Okay.
I know. I'm biting my nails. I don't know what's going to happen.
But my thing is, like, the shark attacked one of the guys, like, if it was like a seal. And I'm like, I don't think a shark attacks like that. Is that true? I don't know. I've never seen that.
I don't know how a shark attacks. I don't want to know.
A shark attacks, ever. Like, in a very vulnerable... What they do... Sharks do normally is when they bite to something, they bite it, and they kind of... Not release it, but they'll do a quick... They'll do a bite, and then what they do is they'll let... the blood come out to the point where it's like just lifeless, and then that's when they start, you know, getting, because
wow,
that's how they do it. That's
you
how
you are an encyclopedia. No. That's
just saying,
you know everything.
But I'm just saying, like, the way that, like, one
what's
of the
what's the secret of the universe?
Balance. Come on, what are you talking about? How dare you?
142.
Oh, that's from that book, Red Vegetation.
I was just testing you there.
There all you right. go. And it, so that's, I don't know, my, it's like, it's just weird. My, you know, I was thinking about this. I, you know, you saw Blackfish, right?
No.
You haven't seen Blackfish?
What's Blackfish?
It's a documentary about the, this, like, killer whales, like, and how, you know, like, we were talking about, you know, guns and how gun control things too, but this is another situation, well, not on a national, but it seemed like it's always one of those things you would hear in the news where a killer whale would attack its trainer. And they want to attack it like a shark would attack, and just, like, you know, even though they could easily, but what they do is they would grab the foot of the trainer and drop them, you know, to the water, you know, underneath the water. Wow. And that's how they would kind of do. And then they would release it, and, you know, because they're a mammal, like, their brain, they really know what they're doing. And, but what happened, they found out that these animals or these killer whales are not really known, like, they shouldn't be captive. Like, that's the thing. And they, what happened was that they found out that there was one killer whale that's been known to do this, and it's like they created a monster in a way because they messed with its head. Because, and the thing is, I mean, just like people, you know, they get, you know, they're stuck in this thing. There's, you know, they have no interaction. You know, they get upset with one another. Like, it's just, if you ever see the movie Blackfish, it's very good. It's very informative, but also very sad, but yet very, like, you get very angry about SeaWorld and stuff like that. And basically there was this one killer that at the end of the show, when everyone's having the thing, they would have this killer whale come up to the thing and say, you know, like, that was like the big splash, like that was like the end of the show. They don't have that killer whale do that anymore, because that killer whale has been known to actually kill its trainers. So wow. They're like, yeah, we shouldn't do this, because they will pull the trainers down, or what happened was that they will jump up, you know, when sometimes, like, if they jump up, you know, to and make that big splash, when they make that, they jump up and make that, they literally land on top of the trainer.
Oh, wow.
Which normally whales do this in the thing when they feel that they're threatened, especially like that. Whales don't go on bump or whatever. What they do is they just come out of the water and breach, and they land on whatever that's annoying them. Basically, that's how you get, you know, you get attacked. And that's what killer whales do. And I always felt like, I mean, I can only imagine, like, if that killer whale, it's who still, I think, in SeaWorld or whatever it is, like, got out, oh my god, like, that thing would just go nuts on anything.
You think so?
Oh, I think.
But,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It should just probably be back in its, like, natural habitat.
No, that's
anyway.
The thing, because it's so not used to whatever it is. It's like, and when they did Jurassic World, I don't know if you saw that, but they created, like, they created a dinosaur, and that dinosaur, what happened was supposedly, like, almost the same situation what they did with these killer whales, where it's like it has no knowledge of what's out there. It has nothing, you know. It's basically like this thing is a bomb, and it's basically going to explode.
Wow. And like, what's the solution there then? It's like, what's
I don't know. That's the thing. They created this thing, and now it's like, you know, this killer whale is not going to be, you know, it's one thing where, like, a shark is doing that. I don't know what I think he's. I think see the thing is like in this thing, the shark is the bad guy, but technically, it's really doing its normal job. It is basically saying like, it's like, hey, you're in my turf. You're in my, you're not in a pool. You're in my turf. If I'm gonna eat you, I'm gonna eat you. You know, your food in a way. And it's just the girl's job to say, hey, I have to survive. I have to do my job to outsmart the shark. But what happens is that it's, you know, if it was a killer whale, which has a similar brain, you know, as what we have, like dolphins and everything, it's like, oh, it's sadistic. Like, it will just go out for there. So, oy. So I don't know. I think if it was a killer whale thing, I would be like, oh, shit, let's get the fuck out of here. Like, because if it's a SeaWorld killer whale, it's like, oh,
yeah, I'm
you know.
With you. Let's get out.
Yeah, because it's a monster. Because sharks, I mean, it's scary enough, but in the wild, I mean, killer whales, like, bully sharks. Like, they're just like they know how to, you know, sharks, like, they know how to tip sharks, mm-hmm. like, upside down. And sharks, when they tip them upside down, they get into this coma phase where they're just, like, just nothing, like, lifeless. And the killer whales would start eating, like, their liver and all their stuff. And then that's how they, you know.
Boy.
Yeah.
Man.
How many dolphins play into this? Because dolphins are, like, sharks' enemies. Well, right?
Right, but the thing is, dolphins are just like mammals. They have the same thing where they understand, communicate, and everything else, just like whales do. And they will actually warn, you know, kind, you know, like us in a way that there's a shark. Sometimes, you know, that's how smart sometimes they are. Killer whales are in the way that, but killer whales will also eat, you know, dolphins as well. You know, they'll want to get to them. So yeah,
it's not exactly like Free Willy is what you're telling me.
Right. Exactly. No. Free Willy. I mean, like, it's not like they're just very curious and they're very like that. But definitely if they're very smart, they're apex predators, meaning there's nothing on top of them. Like, they're at the top of the food chain. Killer whale is top of the food chain in that case. So, wow. Yeah. So that's why it's like when people are diving,
do you think there could be like killer whale police, like if they could do that, like in the sea, and you like just sick your killer whales on
you mean like if somebody's doing a drug bust or a drug cartel or something, like, yeah. Killer whales. I think if you could teach them, maybe if they understood that these are bad people and what they're doing,
and then they can come back home to their little cove,
right,
in SeaWorld or wherever, if it's like safe and like nice for them. Just keep it really cushy for them, you know, where they like it, they feel like appreciated.
I like it. Maybe Free Willy 3, maybe on that one. Okay, yeah. We're ready. Well, you know who could do the, who could control the animals?
Who?
Tarzan. Right?
Oh.
You remember Tarzan?
I love Tarzan. That was only my high school nickname.
What? What the hell?
I mean...
Really?
I've let it go. It's fine. I actually embraced it. I liked it.
Wait, why would they call
it? It wasn't exactly a positive thing, but I thought it was positive because I like Tarzan. And I like climbing trees.
Oh, is that what they call you, Tarzan?
No, it's because I have like...
okay.
It's because I had like crazy, like long, brown,
hanging out
curly
with
hair.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I guess that's it. I don't know.
That's such an unusual nickname. Who are these people that
bullies?
That's like a way out there nickname? Because like if you were Tarzan, that means, because normally a guy would be the one if he was.
I didn't mind. I've always
Tarzan's
wanted to swing from vines.
Yeah,
that's a compliment.
Right, yeah. I guess. But I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't call you, like, I would call me Jane, maybe, or
something. Well, what happened was I was dating someone that I really liked, and it was his ex-girlfriend that then made that nickname for me.
Are you swinging a vine? That's what I'm thinking, like, swinging
like,
a vine, you're hanging
like,
out with a
sounds,
chimp?
Yeah, it just sounds like someone you would really want to date, because that's like,
wow,
that sounds like adventurous, for one.
That's a weird, oh man, Tarzan.
Yeah.
All right. I can't call you Tarzan, can you?
No, you can't. Okay. I didn't mention that. I wasn't opening up, you know. So
okay.
I could bring
all right.
It back.
hey,
so I'd be haunted by it now. I can't call you Tarzan.
Well,
no,
my
that
nickname
wasn't the point.
Well, I don't know. I always say like a nickname. My nickname in grade school was Chucky. That was my nickname. So that was
that's terrifying.
Yeah, that was
the first scary movie I saw, and the last when I was 5 years old.
You got fooled.
I was
done. You saw like, is this a doll?
Yeah. And I had dolls in my room, and then I had to sleep in the hallways because I couldn't I thought that they're going to turn into Chucky.
I saw it last week. I was watching. They had Chucky 1, 2, 3 of the whole series, and all I have to say is that the kid that got Chucky as an adult has the worst freaking luck of all time. Imagine you get a doll, a good guy doll, which is like the thing, and it's possessed by a serial killer.
That's some bad karma.
And he follows you. Not only in that part, he follows you in multiples in your whole life, like afterwards, and then when you're old. I'm like, I would have been like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done. I can't deal with this.
Forget this.
Forget it.
Forget it.
Well, Tarzan, here we go. You're going to see Tarzan.
Great. Okay. All right. Thank you, Carlos.
I'm sorry.
Rubbing it in. It's fine.
Well, again, Hollywood, when they run out of ideas, they go back to the greats. And here we go. The Legend of Tarzan is up there right here. Here we go. Oh, wow. It's in the jungle, of course.
The jungle consumes everything. Preys on the old, the sick, the wounded.
Yeah, he was a white guy too, right? He was like white, and he got, as a kid, I don't know the whole thing, but.
Preys on the weak.
He was a white guy as a kid, and then.
Yeah, he was
black.
A baby who got. I don't know if he was abandoned or whatever, but he got raised by apes.
He was a normal man. He was thought to be an evil spirit, a ghost in the trees. No man ever started with less.
Uh-oh.
He's Tarzan. You're Jane. He'll come for you.
Yeah, they got the tribes of the apes in there. Oh, it's a whole thing there.
They have great actors in here.
Yeah. This is what he's hanging out with his dad, I guess. The ape. Is that how it works? That is weird.
Yeah. Listen. Lord of the Apes, King of the Jungle, Tarzan. Tarzan.
Yeah. That was Samuel Jackson and his 1 millionth movie. He was that guy is in every movie.
That's another example of Samuel Jackson where he just keeps going. He just, you know, he's still doing it.
That's great. It's weird. It's a casting it's got because you go Tarzan, but it's got a lot of well known people in there. The guy he also won the 2-time Academy Award winner.
Christopher Waltz.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
You know, and it's like...
Is it Margot Robbie or Margot?
Margot Robbie. Yeah.
I think she's great. I think she's really talented.
I actually might see this Tarzan movie.
Yeah.
Out of all the four movies that I've done right here, I will probably see Tarzan. Because as a kid, I loved a man who could take over the jungle and swing around and...
Is it a fantasy of yours? Like, can you see yourself maybe going to the jungle or a safari or something?
Yeah, I do like. I would kind of like that, but I'm. But and realistically, when you see like the jungle and how you're like, oh shit, what does? I think you know what it is. I think when I read
mosquitoes, it's like you know just the practicality of it.
Yeah,
when it comes down to it. It's just it's a tall order, but
when
you could just go to the theater and watch that.
Yeah, when I read The Hot Zone, which talked about like. Which is it was a story about how like this it was basically the Ebola virus or just basically the beginning of it in a way, and how like you know killed all these like monkeys and all that stuff and made it to America, you know, not knowing you know the whole thing, and it basically inspired the movie that what was the one with Dustin Hoffman
The Graduate.
No, yeah, it did inspire
Tootsie.
That. What was the one that he did? It was that one. It was like Epidemic or something where it was like basically like the monkey scratched somebody and then everybody started dying off or something like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it was basically like the whole thing. But ever since that.
Monkey trouble. Dustin's day off.
Monkey business. That's what it was called. That would be, see, that was my thing. I would have been like, you know, fuck this. Let's just call monkey. Like, you know. But yeah, that was always my thing. But every now and since now, like disease, I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I would go there.
I don't want to deal with disease.
Yeah, and civil wars and all these other things. It's like, yeah. Nah, it's not fun. You know, that's too much. That's the thing.
We should just do podcasts where we know we're safe. Yeah. We have a bottle of water.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Just hang out and just do whatever it is. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly.
Gosh, Tarzan. Yeah.
Go to the movies.
Wait, when you
talk about current events.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
Call it a day, baby. Wow. Tarzan, man. Well, I don't know.
It looks like a very entertaining movie, a nice studio film.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. My favorite quote. It is what it is. How many situations do we get in through our lives where we're like, it is what it is?
It is what it is.
It comes down to
that
it.
That should be the shirt.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Right there. I think that's what I used to do. Like, I think I did a story one time in one of my shows, and I think it was awful. Like, somebody got killed or whatever, and I go, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Which is the worst thing you could probably just say. Like, if I was a newscaster or just, I'm like, what are you going to do? All right. We're going to commercial right now. It's like, what did you just say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
kind of what it comes down to. It's like with everything that, you know, anything tragic that happens, it comes back to us saying like, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do? I don't know. And I always hate that because I'm such a problem. Like, I want a problem solver where I want to get to the point.
And have a solution.
And I get so upset when I can't fix
it. It's so beyond just ourselves. It's like we need more people. If you do come up with a solution, then you have to get more people involved.
Yeah. Oh, man. See? It's all about the 60s, you know? That's how they did it back in those days. I don't know. But you know what?
Tons of acid and
shrooms. Yeah. Oh, see, back then, if they would have had, you know, Tinder and Facebook or whatever, I'm pretty sure they would have been distracted. They would have been like, Vietnam War, what is that? Like, I don't see anything on my Twitter about that.
I know. That's interesting.
See, that's what I think. I think if you didn't have those, you know, because I do feel like it's a little distracting, you know, with that whole thing.
It's just another big distraction that we deal with.
Right.
It's like people are promoting people.
Right.
People are promoting detox tea.
Right.
There's actual real issues that are happening as well. And it's just a big distraction.
But it's good with the bad because sometimes there's a lot of people that don't know what's going on that maybe they see something and they'll be like, oh, okay. But then there's sometimes where it's like, well, I got to go back to my social media right now. So I'm like, oh, you know, like it's like you're watching the news, but then you're like looking at the, you know, your phone or something. And it's like,
yeah,
oh,
I think it's a new thing, like where we're learning how to balance all of it. And even its psychological effects of even seeing how that starts to be ingrained in our culture.
Mm-hmm. And
how we can use it more effectively.
So right here, let's go say it right here. What are you going to do?
I'm good.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And as the world turns. There we go. Right there, right?
All right.
We saw the problem. I know. I always like that so far. But as the world turns. I'm like, what world is this? Like, never any topics in that. You know, never current events in that soap opera. For crying
out. I know. It's
ridiculous. All right. Well, Christina. Thanks again for doing the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
And where can we find you? Because you're doing your web series, Ladies Like Us.
Yes, so I'm doing Ladies Like Us. We're shooting another episode next month. And I have a film in development called Earthwalkers.
Wow. Is it a scary movie?
It is. Actually, I think... Well, it's not scary. There's scary elements. It's a thriller.
Is it with aliens or something?
No aliens. Oh, okay. No.
Because you say Earthwalkers, I'm like, I don't know.
Like,
about
what is it? No, it's just a really good message. And And I'm excited for it to move forward and be able to talk about it more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll come back soon. Yeah, we'll definitely have you on. And
that'd be great.
I will school you on who Pete Best is and also Roger Waters. We're talking about the Roger Waters story is almost. No, he's not that sad. He's still
made his money. I'm going to make sure that I absorb thousands of encyclopedias. Or I can, as you're talking, I'm just going to start Googling.
That's always a good way. Thank God for Google. Imagine, I don't know what people, I don't know what people back then did. I think it would call 401, probably the 401 would be like, do you know where this thing, or who this is? It's like, No, I don't think we okay, yeah. That's when I remember buying, my parents bought an encyclopedia from an encyclopedia salesman. Like, they would come to every apartment and sell encyclopedias. And I'm like, I don't think that business is around anymore. I don't know. That would have been awesome, though, if it was. You know, it was a nice set of. Yeah. Yeah. Just yours.
Going door to door.
We'll do a documentary about it.
Yeah, well, we'll do that.
Actually, it's already been done. Sorry. Oh, well. All right. Well, again, Mike, thank you for doing the show.
Thank you, Mike.
And awesome. Christina, again, thank you for everybody. And woo! And please, you know, Orlando and the whole thing, you know, make a change or something. Just get it on, you know, and. You know, hopefully, you know, in 5 years or whatever, how long it takes, you know, we'll see how it is. But
let's just be more empathetic and exactly. Love each other and, you know, take the time and just smile.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world, but you know what? It's always been one. All right. Boom. There we go. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening, and please come to your senses.
You have received this transmission from the Comedy Podcast Network. For more shows, visit comedypodcastnetwork.com.